And this feeling of gratitude is a perfect segue into our psalm this morning, Psalm 100 that we will look at. And again, I would like to try one more thing so that we can keep ourselves in it. If I could ask one more time to turn to the person next to you or those around you to greet them just one more time and say, out of gratitude, we have joy. So greet one another one more time saying, out of gratitude, we have joy. And please try to at least be joyful or pretend to be joyful when you say this. Out of gratitude, we have joy. We have joy. And so this morning, I am very thankful myself. I am grateful that I get to preach on Psalm 100, which is relatively a more light or a more joyful psalm, especially when compared to Dave's sermon last week, where the psalm was a little bit more sobering, and it challenged us to be truthful in our lives with our sins and our brokenness. But this morning with Psalm 100, we look at how this psalm, as well as all the other psalms, reflect honest prayers to our God. Our Psalm 100 this morning reminds us of the reason that we are able to even give thanks to God. It's the why we give thanks and why we are joyful, even in the midst of difficult times or even in times of brokenness and shame. So this morning, I hope you don't hear that I'm trying to get everyone to pretend that they are joyful, even though their lives or your lives might not be so joyful right now. It is not my intention to take this psalm and to force you somehow to pretend to be joyful. But one of the honest prayers, one of the honest feelings, or one of the honest emotions that we have to our God includes joy. It definitely includes joy. And so, if you take away anything from our psalm this morning, I hope it is this. It is the greeting that we had. We have joy out of gratitude. Out of gratitude, we have joy. It is not a blind joy, just some sort of happiness that has no reason. We are happy, we are joyful, and we get to even shout for joy only because we are thankful for what God has done for us. And so, this psalm invites us to shout because of the ultimate hope we have in God. Joy out of gratitude. Out of gratitude, we have joy. And so out of curiosity, when was the last time you actually shouted? Except for the time when we were cheering for our kids here, when they were singing their songs with the limited sound system that we had. But the song is one of my most favorite songs, and the lyrics for the chorus is just perfect for this psalm, for this sermon this morning. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be? Yeah. You're not supposed to be quiet. Why? Because we're shouting for joy to God. It is not some earthly thing that we're just quickly joyful of and are done with. We are joyful in our ultimate hope in what God has done, in our gratitude to God. And so as I was preparing for this sermon, the imagery that came to me, and I can't pretend that this was mine, it actually came from my wife Moon, was in how we as humans, and I say we all humans, created in God's image, seem to be the least hesitant to shout, to really shout and cheer for joy when encouraging for those in need. And so, I don't know if you're aware, but most professional sports teams do this. But when someone fighting a very serious condition is presented in a game, some sort of ceremony, people do not hold back their encouraging shouts. And I suggest that they shout because they desire deep in their hearts for redemption, for healing. And in many games, they shout, the crowd shouts almost as loud as when they see a fight break out in a hockey game. And so if you have your Bibles with you, or your phones, or your apps, please turn with me to our joyful psalm, Psalm 100, and we will read from the top. Psalm 100, a psalm for giving grateful praise. And so hear this psalm this morning, Hope. Shout for the joy to the Lord, all the earth. Shout for joy. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. I feel like we should say this all together. Verse 5, if we can read it together, please. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen. Amen. This very long psalm that we have this morning, the makeup of this psalm is very interesting and reflects the central message of what I suggest, joy out of gratitude. There are only 5 verses, and I suggest, upon reading and studying this psalm, I suggest that verses 1, 3, and 5, so the odd number verses, reflect the gospel of God's redemptive kingdom. 1, 3, and 5. And so the other 2 verses, verses 2 and 4, reflect the calling for us as God's people living in this redemptive narrative. Our calling to gather together, to live in God's kingdom. As Pastor Sid reflected this morning, I promise you I did not share anything about my sermon this morning with Pastor Sid. But it's amazing how the call to worship that Pastor Sid shared with us this morning just reflects perfectly our calling as God's people to gather together. I will get more into this as we go along. But the first verse says, shout for joy to the Lord. Shout for joy. Now, this shouting for joy is directed to capital L-O-R-D. Now, if you're not aware of why the Bible sometimes spells just L-O-R-D, or even sometimes capital L, but not capital. What's not capital? Lowercase. So capital L, lowercase O-R-D, or sometimes the Bible spells L-O-R-D, all capitals. The all caps L-O-R-D signify the personal name of Yahweh. We just don't say or spell it Yahweh because we don't know. Many people may not be familiar with it. And so in the Hebrew, we just say Adonai, which just means Lord. But our translators do want to signify that this is a prayer, this is a psalm, this is a shout for joy to the capital L-O-R-D, our personal God, Yahweh, the God of Israel. And this is not a shout to some random deity, some random godly figure. This is very important, that we do acknowledge that we are shouting to our God. In one of our sermons on the Psalms, Pastor Dave emphasized the importance of referring to God as the God of Israel, not just some God, G-O-D, but Yahweh, the God of Israel. It reminds the readers of the Psalms that it was their God who saved them from slavery in Egypt. It was their God that provided salvation for them. We take that and we know that this is reflective, this is symbolic of Christ's work on the cross. And we are reminded of the saving work of God in Christ his Son. And so this verse points us to the central message again, that we can find joy because we are grateful of God's ultimate work of redemption for us, and more importantly, all of creation through Christ. And so I suggest we cannot miss how this psalm, Psalm 100, that's thousands of years old, reflect Revelation 21, that image of the fulfillment of God's kingdom, where we have no more tears, we have no more pain, we have no more suffering, we have the fulfillment of God's kingdom, and it is reflected in our psalm this morning as well. This redemptive kingdom includes all of creation. Hence, our psalm's invitation in verse 1, and yes, we are still in verse 1, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. All of creation is invited, is called to worship the creator of heaven and earth. And so being grounded in this gospel narrative, that we reflect Revelation 21, the beginning of creation to the end, where God fulfills and God redeems his creation, including us, we cannot but help but be thankful for what God has done. And so in light of this gospel message, verse 2 invites us to worship and come before the Lord with gladness and joyful songs. We, as God's people, are called to worship. Verse 2, actually, the Hebrew word where it's translated as worship the Lord with gladness. Worship the Lord with gladness also includes the nuance of serving. And so the English word we have for the Hebrew avad, the closest thing that captures most of its meaning is worship the Lord, which is correct. But in that definition also includes serve the Lord and come before him with gladness. Serve the Lord. September is coming. Our calling as God's people is to serve the Lord and, secondly, be in his presence. Because in verse 2 it says, worship, serve the Lord, but also come before him with gladness. And the come before him, again, I'm sorry if I'm sounding like a Hebrew geek this morning. I'm not a huge expert in Hebrew, but it is important to note that come before the Lord, come before him, literally means be in God's face, in front of God's face. The Hebrew actually has face in this expression. Be in front of God's face. Come before him. In other words, losing my place here. In other words, from the gratitude that we have in the gospel, in the good news of God's redemptive kingdom, comes joy. So we shout for joy. We come with gladness and joyful songs. And this bears fruit in our calling as God's people, which is serving, worshiping God, and being in his presence. This is your calling this morning, Hope. And so according to my suggestion then, we were moving on to verse 3. The odd number of verses has to reflect this redemptive gospel. Verse 3, then, according to my theory, has to reflect it as well. Evidently, verse 3 invites us to reflect on who Yahweh, our Lord, is. To be precise, because sometimes I mix this up, I misread this, I mean. This verse 3 says, the Lord is God. And sometimes I mistakenly read it as, the Lord is good, which is very common. We hear it all the time in the Bible. The Lord is good. But here it is very explicit. Know that the Lord is God. Our Lord Yahweh, capital L-O-R-D, is God. It is he who created us. It is he who created the whole world. And he is God. It is also he who made us and have called us to be his people. And so in verse 3, it says, it is he who made us and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. The sheep of his pasture. How can we not read this in light of Christ, in light of the gospel narrative? It hasn't been far since we finished our John series. And when we were in the Gospel of John, one of the best Gospels, Jesus said in John 10, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, which is exactly what Jesus did, which is exactly what our God in Psalm 100 is described as. Jesus is the one who laid down his life for the sake of our own sins. He took on the brokenness and the sinfulness of the world, even though he himself was sinless. Hence, I feel like I've proven my point. Verse 3 also reflects the gospel narrative of God's redemptive kingdom. And so on the backdrop of this gospel narrative, verse 4 now invites God's people to their calling once again. We read verse 4 again. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. This verse, again, reflects our calling. On the backdrop, again, of verse 3, as the gospel narrative of God's redemptive kingdom, verse 4 calls us again. Serve, worship the Lord, and be in his presence. Those two things. Worship and serve the Lord, and be in his presence. Sometimes we do one or the other. I grew up in the Korean church, as I've said multiple times, and I feel like one of the habits that we need to break as a Korean church is to emphasize a little bit less and find a good balance of serving the Lord but also being in his presence. There's a lot of serving, lots of serving, as we have seen with our volunteers at summer camp. Lots of serving, lots of good work for the Lord. But we must not forget that we, as created in God's image, as human beings, we need to be in God's presence. We need to stand before God's face, which is a very scary thing, by the way. To be in the presence of the most holy God. But this, again, reflects the image of how we are a broken bowl, mended together by the grace of God, where God's presence is poured into our lives. And it's not just taking a little bit of God's presence and then going and sprinkling as much as we can to bless others. That image is always bearing as much as we can, much more than we can bear, much more than we can prepare for. And so when God's blessing overflows, that's when we become a true blessing for others. And that reflects in how we cannot say, oh, it's me who's doing all the sprinkling, all the blessing. It's my work. It's my serving the Lord. But when we have that image of God blessing us and overflowing, it's not me necessarily blessing others. It's God blessing others through me. How can I take any credit for this? And so, coming back to our psalm this morning, just in case this short five-verse psalm has not emphasized the gospel narrative enough, verse 5 also concludes the psalm by describing God's character. Yahweh, our God, is described as good and that his love endures forever, as we sang this morning. Just as Christ laid down his life down for the love of others, for the love of his sheep, so is our God described in the exact same way. His faithfulness, God's faithfulness, and we must be clear, it is his faithfulness, not our own. And even when we may fail and falter, and we do fail and falter, God remains faithful, and his love for us endures through all generations. All generations. God's work of redemption is his mission, as I have expressed, not ours. We have assurance in Christ, not in ourselves. Our calling is to live into this assurance, to overflow because we have assurance in the good news of Christ. And how do we do this? How do we let this overflow? It is by obeying, being obedient to God's calling, to serve and be in his presence. So hear your calling this morning, church. Serve the Lord and be in his presence. And as I sort of expressed at the beginning of the sermon, our calling to serve and be in God's presence out of joy, because we are so thankful for what God has done and what he is doing for the ultimate hope of all creation. This joy, this calling to joy, is not a blind joy that disregards all that we go through in our journeys of faith. There is a reason why this is just one psalm, one short psalm, I might add, out of 150 psalms that we have. The encouragement today is to be reminded of the gospel of Christ and the ultimate joy and hope that we have in Him. The psalm isn't meant to get you out of whatever life's phase you are in somehow trying to force you to be joyful because you're a Christian. We must be joyful, yes. It is our calling to joyfully serve and be in God's presence because we know and we have hope in God's ultimate plan of redemption, yes. But at the same time, we are broken, sinful people. And it is not necessarily, I might seem very joyful this morning because I get to preach on Psalm 100. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I woke up all joyful with all the lack of sleep that I had because of Timothy. Moon's going to laugh in my face. Yeah, you didn't get enough sleep? But it's not necessarily pretending to be joyful and commanding all Christians to be always joyful because, hey, you have assurance in Christ. Why are you so down? Why are you so down all the time? Why are you so sad? Why are you lamenting? Why are you always confessing your sins? Forget about it. Just be joyful. We have assurance in Christ. That's not what this psalm, that's not what the gospel narrative is trying to pull us towards or force us towards. We are meant to be fully human beings, which means that we have full range of emotions. The important thing is to bring all of that to our personal God, Yahweh, to our God, who loves us and who is good to us. And His love and goodness endures forever. Amen? Amen. Thank you. And that's why one of the ways we get to worship, serve, and be in God's presence is to join together for worship like this, but also in a night where we get to be a little more intimate and share in a lot of worship and prayer, like Dwell. August 25th, 7:30 p.m. in the Fireside Room, where young adults are excited to be leading our worship for this. The encouragement today, Hope, is to find peace. Find shalom, which reflects God's redemption, by the way. Find comfort in God's work of ultimate redemption for us and all of creation. And hopefully, out of this assurance, you may be able to serve and be in God's presence with joy, with overflowing joy. Why? Because there is joy out of gratitude. Out of gratitude, we have joy. This is the exact exhortation that Paul gives for the church in Thessalonians, where he says, it's a famous verse, rejoice always. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. As we come to a close this morning, just reflecting on today and what we have gone through, if this pandemic that we have gone through in our recent history has taught us anything, it is the value of being able to gather and be in God's presence as His people, to share in this joy as God's people together, as His sheep. I am in no way suggesting that we cannot be in God's presence in our daily individual lives, but our ultimate calling is to gather together to worship. And I think it is worth noting, just one more Hebrew fact for you. It is worth noting that grammatically speaking, all the imperatives or the commanding verbs in our psalm this morning are used toward the subject of y'all. I know we don't say this in Canada. It's the plural you. It's not, hey, serve the Lord, you. Serve the Lord, single. Peter, you, just by yourself, serve the Lord. It is, y'all need to come together and serve the Lord. Well, that got a little bit of a laugh. I can do a pretty good Texas accent, I do admit. All of us together, plural together, are called to serve, worship the Lord, and be in His presence. Because we have joy out of gratitude. Worship Him with gladness. Give glorious praise with joyful songs to God our Father. Find joy out of gratitude. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, what else can we say but thank you? How can we come before you in your presence and not be thankful for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do for our lives, for all of creation? Lord, we give you thanks for the good news of Christ. We give you thanks for your love and your goodness, that you do not give up on us, even though we sometimes give up on you. Lord, we give you thanks and we shout for joy out of this gratitude. We thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for all the volunteers, all the leaders who serve you and worship you. Lord, we come before you once again with song. We use our musical talents. We use all the gifts that you have allowed us. And Lord, we want to give you all the glory because you deserve it. You deserve everything.